give, you take away. Lord, in moments of when everything is as it should be, it's pretty easy to bless your name. But when suffering comes, when difficulties invade our path, we often find it difficult to bless your name. But as we've said before, our circumstances don't change who you are. You are good. And so we give thanks to you, Lord, for you are good. If we wanted to take the time today, we could spend the rest of our time together just calling out the things we're thankful for. And you're worthy of all of that. As we gather in this place this morning, may we come truly with grateful hearts, especially grateful for the gift of eternal life. Lord, apart from that, we're hopeless. We have no hope at all. But because of your Son, Jesus, we have hope of eternal life, knowing you here and having eternal life forever. May we rejoice. God, I pray for our congregation today. You know who is here. You know the hurts. You know the joys. Where there are needs, we ask that you would supply every need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus, as your word says you will. Where we need to be encouraged, may we be lifted up. Where we need to be corrected, correct us. God, you're good, and we worship you today. For every part of ministry this morning that's coming from Kilpatrick Church, may you be the center, and may you receive the glory. We love you today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. It is good to see each of you here this morning on this Sunday before Thanksgiving. We're having a jury trial today, and so that's what's going on, I think. I don't know who's going to be tried first, but we'll give thanks for your guilty verdict. As we get started in a message on thanks, I just want to say personally about the staff that we are blessed with. I'm thankful for each staff person that I get to serve alongside, Vic and Neil and Matt and Lori and the Spanglers. We are blessed, folks, and I trust that you give God thanks regularly for those that God has provided Kilpatrick Church with to serve you. We're not here serving us. We're serving you. We're serving God, but we're serving you as we serve God. And each of us are grateful for the honor and the privilege to serve you as we serve the one who has given us this opportunity. As you can see, things are going to be a little different this morning. Each of our staff members are, Lori is out of town today, or she would be with us. We're going to take some time for each of us to share something about thanks. Now, what you're going to notice is, it may sound like we put our heads together and came up with this message. We did not. We simply gave an assignment, and independently we worked on our particular portion of this message, and we did not collaborate. When we came together this past Wednesday evening to walk through the message, it was kind of like everybody had their spy cam on everybody else. So this was not planned this way. My thought is that, could it be that God was directing us? I trust that is the case. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Listen to what Paul says, very short snippets. Be joyful always, are you? Pray continually, do you? Give thanks in all circumstances. Do you? Notice this. You ever want to know what God's will is? You ever wondered, God, what is your will for me? Here it is. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We'll talk about that. And then Old Testament, 1 Chronicles 16:34. Give thanks to the Lord. Why? For he's what? And his love endures for a while. Forever. Well, 4 days from now, families across our nation are going to gather around their tables to commemorate a national holiday called Thanksgiving. And while it's noble that our forefathers many years ago declared one day of the year should be a day of Thanksgiving, it seems to me that every day, especially as followers of Jesus Christ, should be Thanksgiving Day. Well, maybe not with turkey and dressing and all that stuff, but we should be people of gratitude. And as we go through the scriptures, we find time and time again that if we are followers of Jesus Christ, we are to be grateful people. I've shared with you two passages of scripture this morning. There is a psalm, Psalm 100, and if you look at the title, it's titled, For Giving Thanks. And in that psalm, we are instructed to come into God's presence with thanksgiving. And we're to enter his courts with praise. And we've done that this morning. We've given musical thanks and praise to him. There are many other scriptures which remind us that we are to give thanks, and it gives us reasons to give thanks to the Lord. As I mentioned, today is going to be kind of a tag team approach. And we're going to take the word thanks, and each of us are going to take one letter and share something about thanksgiving connected with that letter. I get to start out with thankfulness. Thankfulness. As I begin looking at this, my mind went to the opposite of thankfulness. I thought about these two words. Entitlement and discontent. Entitlement and discontent. And this led to many questions that began to just roll through my mind. Let me just give you some of them. Are you a grateful person? Do you appreciate the things in your possession? Here's a tough one. Are you thankful for the circumstances you find yourself in? As Paul wrote, give thanks in all circumstances. Do you ever find yourself discontent? See, you and I have been blessed to have been born and raised in the United States of America. And it's a nation of plenty. We have everything we need and more, don't we? Yet what happens? We often find ourselves taking things for granted. And when we take things for granted, we are not grateful. We kind of expect things to just be as they are and that we will have what we expect to have. More questions came to mind as I worked on this. Do you regularly stop and thank God for the things in your possession? When was the last time you thanked God for your toothbrush and toothpaste? Your spouse will thank you for that. Thank him. How about indoor plumbing? You thanked him recently for your refrigerator or your freezer, your washer, your dryer? How about your dishwasher? Oh, yeah. Do you ever thank him for that? Your lazy boy? Man, I like that. I can push that button. I don't have to raise the foot thing. It just raises for me. I like it. You ever thank him for the money to buy gasoline? How often have you thanked God for the measure of health that you have? Do you thank him for life and for breath and for strength? Rocky, why are you asking us these questions? Well, because the scripture says We are to be people who give thanks. We're to be grateful people. And so I ask you two words, are you? Are you? Now hear me, I'm not suggesting that we are intentionally ungrateful for what we have and for the blessings that God has given us, but I wonder, on the other side, are we intentionally thankful for the blessings in our lives? True or false, thankfulness is a choice. You're not certain. Thankfulness is a choice. You can always find something to be grateful for, and you can always find something to be ungrateful for, right? It's a choice. I said we're going to talk about giving thanks in all circumstances. Sometimes circumstances are easy to give thanks for, aren't they? When something good or exciting comes into our lives, just yesterday, our daughter-in-law, she's 34 weeks pregnant with twins. It's easy to go, God, this is awesome, thank you. I'm grateful for this. But when difficulty and pain and discomfort come into our lives, is thankfulness the first thing on our lips? Did you know that you can learn to give thanks in the midst of difficulty and challenges? Let me just share something personal. In 1997, I was diagnosed with what is called Crohn's disease. And God has been gracious for 27 years, but the last 8 or 9 months have been extremely challenging personally, physically. If you've looked at my face at times and thought, is Rocky mad? No. I just didn't feel good. It's been challenging almost on a daily basis. And these struggles have given me the opportunity to practice thankfulness in all circumstances. The last week and a half, God has seen fit to give considerable relief. And I give him thanks and praise. When I woke up this morning, I just said, Lord, it is so good to be able to sleep through the night and to wake up feeling pretty good. Now, I want you to hear me on this. I'm not pretending to have giving thanks in all circumstances mastered, okay? But I can tell you this. I'm improving in my thankfulness. See, I've learned to be thankful that my problems aren't more severe than they are. I'm thankful for the moments of feeling good. I'm learning to be thankful for God's sufficient grace when things aren't going very well. And here's something else I'm learning about thankfulness. I have to be intentional. It is something intentional that has to take place in my life. It doesn't happen by accident, and it won't happen by accident. Let me close my portion with a practice that I implemented in my life about 4 years ago. I was at a conference, and just this exercise just really stood out to me. In my quiet time, my devotional time each day, I like to journal. I don't write a book, but I just like to write some things down. And I begin my daily journaling by doing this thing. Writing down 3 things I'm grateful for. And sometimes it's a big thing, like, thank you for providing medication that is helping me feel better. But sometimes it's as simple as for my coffee this morning, for warm socks, for a microwave, for the rain, or no rain. Why do I do this? Why would I encourage you to do this? Here's why. This practice keeps gratitude and thanksgiving at the forefront of my mind. And we have so much to be thankful for. Are you thankful? That is your calling as a believer. I'm going to ask Vic to come and share with us the H in thanks.
In John 13, the creator of the universe humbled himself and washed the dirty feet of his disciples. H is for humility, and God commands us to be humble. Micah 6:8 says, "He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord desire of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." James writes, "Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up." Peter writes, "Be submissive to those who are older. Clothe yourselves in humility towards one another. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Have you ever looked at yourself in a funhouse mirror? The mirrors are curved, bent, and distorted. Imagine if you grew up in that funhouse, if that was the only image you had of yourself. You would either see yourself as many different distorted images, or you would pick the image you like best and choose it as your true image. But both would be a lie. When we're born, the image of God in us is distorted and damaged. We think, "I'm the best," or "I'm the smartest," or "I'm the ugliest," "I'm worthless," "I'm flawed," "I'm not good enough." Humility brings out our true image. The closer we are to the presence of God, the truer we see ourselves, honestly, genuinely, accurately. Humility is a choice, and humility has benefits. Preventing God's wrath. God hears the humble. God leads and teaches the humble. The humble person is favored by God. And the person who humbles themselves will be exalted. Humility is the opposite of our fallen nature. Self-centeredness is our default button. We place ourselves at the center of our universe, but we don't belong there and really have no right to think that we do. When Christ comes in and fills our hearts, he sets up his throne at the center of our world. We are under his authority, under his command. He makes the rules and calls the shots. If we will allow Jesus, he will take out a chisel. He'll chip off all that pride. He will work on the rough area of self-promotion and smooth it out. Humility does not come easy, nor is it painless. As God chips away, we begin to see who we truly are. We also develop a clear vision of seeing who God truly is. Until we are humble, we're posers. But in the presence of God, we see ourselves rightly. Today, you are showing a measure of humility. You came in and worshiped. You humble yourselves and give adoration to God. In prayer, unable to meet your needs, you go straight to the one who can. You listen to the spoken word, submitting yourselves before others and listening and learning. Living life outside the presence of God, we are pretending to be someone we are not created to be. In the presence of God, we cannot help but move into humility. We will all be humbled someday. Just read Philippians 2. We can either choose to choose humility in the presence of our Lord now, or we will be forced to later. We can humble ourselves now and be exalted later, or we can choose to exalt ourselves now and be humbled later. Either way, God will take everyone back to their true self in relationship to him. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, Jesus is Lord, no exceptions. Isaiah, in the presence of the Lord, responds, "Woe is me, for I'm ruined." Humility is an immediate, accurate, whole person response. When we see God and who he really is, a right, healthy, accurate assessment of ourselves is a blessing. It is something to be thankful for. In God's presence, we leave the distorted funhouse view of ourselves. We can be thankful for God's gift, and we finally see our true self. That's humility. That's good news. And that is something to be thankful for during this Thanksgiving season. Neil is coming next with the letter A.
Well, A is for appreciate God's blessings. Appreciate God's blessings. And as I was thinking about what blessings, this thought came to mind from the truth that is spoken in Romans 10. The thought was, we are not truly capable, none of us, I don't believe, are truly capable of appreciating God's blessing in our life unless we have individually declared, confessed, acknowledged with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believed in our heart that God raised him from the dead and thus been saved. For with our heart we believe and are justified, and with our mouth we profess our faith and are saved. When thinking of God's blessings, I know for myself, I think and concentrate and focus too much on physical, monetary, possessional blessings. When I started thinking about how am I thankful for the blessings, and God was reminding me through this message to remember all his blessings. First and foremost, the blessing of salvation. Secondly, the blessing, the absolute amazing blessing that when we trust Jesus and we receive salvation, we get the Holy Spirit to come and live in our lives. For me, those two are the two big blessings that I probably sadly, crazily don't think about enough in my day-to-day life. When we live our lives understanding those two blessings, when we live our lives with those two blessings at the forefront of our knowledge, we truly then can understand, as Rocky's already said through James, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. Of course, blessings come in all shapes and sizes. They're not just those two blessings. Those are the two main blessings as far as I'm concerned. But as Rocky talked about earlier, we're each blessed with all kinds of different things. Some of the things I listed were, we're blessed with our own unique individual talents, skills, abilities. Each one of us, a little bit different than the next person. All the way down to socks, running water. When I think about the places I've been, hot water for me, like hot water is such a huge blessing. Probably if I never dealt with hot water, never had to deal with hot water, it wouldn't be. But for me, it's a huge blessing. What about the place we live, that we have a place to live, that we have electricity, that we have heat, that I can turn my air down in the summer and not have to sweat? What a horrible thing sweating would be, right? All these things that we can just take for granted. So how do we best appreciate all of God's blessings? I've got five ways for us this morning, and I'm going to start each one of them with Scripture. Number one comes from Psalm 103:2, and it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." That would be acknowledge him as the source of all your blessings. Tell others who you give thanks to, who is responsible for all the blessings you have in your life. Give him thanks and reflect on his goodness. Acknowledge him. Number two comes from Jesus himself in John 14. He says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments." So number two would be live life obediently to him. Our gratitude should be more than words and should be reflected in our actions. Obedience is one of the highest forms of appreciation we can show God. When we align our lives with his word, when we live out our lives with his word, we demonstrate our trust in his plans and acknowledge his sovereignty. Number three comes from Paul in 2 Corinthians 9. "Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion or out of guilt," right? For God loves a cheerful giver. So number three was share with others what you have been blessed with by God. And immediately my mind will go to, well then, currency, right? Money. And it's not just that. It's not just financially. It's share your talents, your ability, your gift. Share your most important thing to most of us, your time. Share your time with others. Share your talents with others. Encourage other people with words. Passing on God's blessings to others shows God that you appreciate what he has given you. Number four comes from Psalm 100. "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him." bless his name. And we do that on Sunday mornings really well. But I think, so that's worship wholeheartedly. Number four, worship wholeheartedly. But also, we need to worship him with that same thought in that same way every day of our lives, whether we're at work or at church or who we're with. Worship him from a heart that is in awe of God's love and his provision and his blessings. And number five comes from Psalm 107:2. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. You and I are the redeemed of the Lord. Number five would be, tell others of his goodness. Not just the blessings. Tell others the gospel. Share with others the gospel. Share with others your testimony. It's a great way to show gratitude to God for what he has done in your lives. Our testimonies are living proof of his blessings, and they point others to his goodness. So A is for appreciate God's blessings. Let's do this by committing to show gratitude to God, not just through our lips, but with our lives. Let's acknowledge his blessings, obey his word, share what we have received, worship him with sincerity, and boldly testify to others about his goodness. By doing these things, we can honor him and reflect his love to the rest of the world. Matt has N.
For N, I have nurturing a spirit of generosity. And these were assigned to us randomly, and I find that interesting because I see God at work in this, because we've been studying with our KC kids the Sermon on the Mount. And we've really been hitting home using our time and our talents and giving to others. And a lot of that has been shown through our KC Kids Sunday School. This past month, we've spent a lot of time writing letters that were packed last week in the shoeboxes. We had our children pray over the boxes. And then we collected funds. We had them get a little skin in the game and do some chores at home to bring money in, and then to give that money to pay for shoeboxes. And the kids of Kilpatrick sent 7 shoeboxes on their own to overseas countries. They have been practicing a spirit of generosity. As Christians, generosity is more than just a virtue. Generosity is a divine calling that allows us to reflect God's abundant grace. And the scripture that I'm going to talk from today comes from 2 Corinthians 9, 11 through 12. And the Apostle Paul reminds us of the profound impact of generosity. It says, "You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God." This passage highlights that generosity is not only a gift from God, but it's also a way for us to glorify God. First, Paul emphasizes that God enriches us in a variety of ways, not merely as a personal benefit, but to empower us to go out and freely give. This enrichment can include material blessings, time, talent, spiritual growth. All of these we've been entrusted with. They are not ours. They are what God has entrusted us to steward for his purposes. Second, Paul shares about the transformative power here of giving. When we generously meet the needs of others, it results in a thanksgiving to God. Our acts of kindness start to become a testimony of his love, of his provision, and it inspires gratitude and praise among those who receive, but also those that witness them. Generosity is not only a practical way to serve others, but it's also an act of worship that magnifies God's glory. Now, I know Pastor Rocky said we didn't have spy cameras, but I spied on Neil. And obviously, I spied on Neil's attire this morning, too, which sounds weird. But we dressed alike, and I also have 5 points. And you'll see that some of them connect. But I really feel that's because the Bible says stuff multiple times for people like me to get it. First, the first reason how we can implement and nurture a spirit of generosity is to recognize God is the source of all our blessings. We must acknowledge that everything has and will come from God. Cultivating gratitude for His provision will create a mindset of stewardship rather than an ownership, making it easier for us to freely and joyfully give. Second, we can pray for a generous heart. Having a generous heart can be hard to achieve if we're relying on ourselves all by ourselves. How can we ask God to cultivate a spirit of generosity within ourselves? Go to Him in prayer. Prayer aligns our heart with His will, and it helps others' needs. It also helps us to respond with compassion and love. Third, start small and be intentional. Generosity doesn't have to be this grand gesture, this big moment. Look for everyday opportunities to share your time, resources, and encouragement. This can be a kind word, a helping hand. Even a small donation makes a bigger difference than what we may ever know. And as shared at my beginning, this style of generosity can be practiced by people of all ages, including our children. Fourth, we need to trust God to provide. A big challenge with generosity can be our own fear. Our fear can be a hindering stumbling block. We must trust that God's promises will enrich us so that we can go out and be generous, and then free us to give without hesitation, knowing that God will meet our needs. Lastly, give with joy and gratitude while encouraging others to join us. Generosity is most powerful when it flows out of a cheerful heart. We can reflect on God's goodness and let our giving be a response of thanksgiving and not one of obligation. We can encourage generosity within our families, church, workplace, and community. Together, we have the ability to expand the impact of generosity. By nurturing our own spirit of generosity, we align ourselves with God's purposes. We can follow Jesus' example as He generously gave Himself on the cross. Our generosity can bless those in need, inspire others to give thanks, and deepen our own faith and joy in His provision. Next, we have the Spanglers with K.
Thank you.
Yep.
K is keep a grateful heart in times of trouble. We glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Romans 5:3-5. It can be hard enough to remember to practice patience and gratitude when things are going swimmingly in life, but when things really hit the fan, it can hardly cross your mind sometimes. As many of you know, we spent 4 of the last 13 months in the hospital with Chase. Chase was already disabled, but he'd never had a medical emergency quite like that. Last year, he suffered from a bowel perforation, which required emergency surgery, and unfortunately, that led to a whole cascade of complications and interventions. To see him now, it's hard to believe how bad off he really was, because he's recovered so fully that he feels better now than he did before. But in the moment, our lives were totally turned upside down. Our family was split up across the state. We were completely at the mercy of our community to care for us. Much of that was you guys. And we were just exhausted and exasperated beyond function. And times like these can make or break your walk with Christ. You can either lean into Him or you can succumb to the temptation to give up. And that's why it is so important to develop a healthy worldview of suffering. Understanding that afflictions are precisely the tool that God uses to make us more like Christ. but only if we submit to his sovereignty. Can we still pray for healing? Of course. We boldly prayed for faith in healing, and we received answers, and we received both yeses and nos, and we had to accept each. The Lord didn't cause this pain, but he did ordain it, and through it, he provided many tangible, physical, and spiritual blessings. By intentionally drawing near to him, we could see the bigger picture of his purpose and align ourselves with it. We learned to be thankful for things that we would normally take for granted. We became thankful for even being in our own home and for seeing one another and for those that were supporting us. We were thankful when God provided just enough relief, just enough rest, just enough peace, hope, energy to get through one more day. And we learned how to be thankful for a testimony that we now have to share. It was hard in the moment to clearly see what there was to be grateful for. But there's always something, even if nothing more than the Lord's presence with us. And that itself is exceedingly abundantly more than we can think or ask.
Thank you, Jessica. One thing I've learned to ask myself over the years, and I found myself asking myself, especially over the last year, is this question, and I want to share that with all of us today. Am I grateful because of my circumstances, or am I grateful despite my circumstances? So I'm going to ask that a couple of times to us today. I want to share a passage from 1 Peter 1:3-9. It's a little bit longer, but stick with me. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved for you in heaven, who are kept by the power of God through faith and salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. What I take away from this passage that I think is very important is that faith being proven through trials can give glory to God. In other words, trials can lead to a testimony. I can share personally for myself over the last year, going through everything that we went through with Chase, I've had several people, whether it's through work or, you know, people in my personal circles, who have come up and asked me, how in the world are you doing this? And my answer has always been, I'm not, really. Personally, I'm not. It's God. It's God. And it's my faith in God. I want to share a couple of reflections here. I'll be the first to admit that I do struggle. Rocky talked about that just a minute ago. Do I always get it right? No, absolutely not. When I'm facing trials and struggles, I don't think that I do a perfect job of being grateful in the midst of all of the struggles. I think it is hard to say sometimes when you go outside and you try to start your car doesn't start. Thank you, Lord. That's a tough one, right? Or when you run into a traffic jam, when you're late to work already. All of those things are tough to say, thank you, Lord, in the midst of those circumstances. I've often found myself asking, God, why can't you just provide a blessing for us? I remember the early days when Chase was in the hospital thinking, God, why can't you just heal him now? Looking back, though, you can see God's work. I want to share a verse from one of my favorite songs, because we're music people. This is from Casting Crowns. And it's a song I listen to quite often over the last year or so. The line from the song goes, if your eyes are on the storm, you'll wonder if I love you still. But if your eyes are on the cross, you know I always have and I always will. I think that's really powerful, and it's really important for us to remember. So the question again, am I grateful because of my circumstances, or am I grateful despite my circumstances? For all of us, I just want to leave us with a word of encouragement. As Jessica said, this church family is really what has gotten us through the last year. God can work through you in ways that you would not even know. I can say that prayer is very, very important. Praying yourself, asking those around you to pray. But when things do happen, lean into God. Don't lean away. Don't lean away. Now back over to Rocky.
Thank you, staff. Earlier in the message, Matt shared about nurturing a spirit of generosity. And so as we wrap up today, in this message, I get to share the S, sharing gratitude with others. It seems to me that there's a very close connection between gratitude and generosity. Think about that for a moment. Gratitude is a recognition that anything that's in my possession isn't mine. It doesn't belong to me. It belongs to someone else. See, if I'm saying thank you for what's in my possession, I'm acknowledging that it's not mine. I'm telling somebody else thank you for what I have. The indication is it belongs to that person that I'm saying thank you to. And we give thanks to God as followers of Jesus Christ because we've come to understand that everything we have comes from Him. Psalm 24 says, "The earth is the Lord and everything in it." And then it's been mentioned from James chapter 1, verse 17, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." Followers of Jesus Christ freely and gladly admit, "God, you've given me everything I have." And if we believe that, and we do, it seems to me that it's wise to do with what I have based upon what the one who owns it all says I should do with it. And you know what he tells us we should do? Be generous. That's sharing our gratitude with others. Think back with me for a moment to the early church, Acts. The church is forming and getting everything in order, preparing to just go across the world. And in Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 32, it reveals that all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. There were no needy persons among them. And then later on, it says, "From time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need." What I see here is generosity on display. Generosity on display. There was a recognition by those believers in the early church that everything in their possession didn't belong to them. It belonged to someone else. It belonged to God. And with gratitude, they brought it to the church, to the apostles in that day. And then they distributed that as there was need. Could we say that they were sharing their gratitude with others? And then Paul wrote in Romans 12, 13, "Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality." You see, there was to be an awareness of the needs around them. Why? So that they could take what was in their possession, be generous, and share with those who did not have. As I observed this and thought about it, selfishness and entitlement didn't fit into the lives of God's people then, and it shouldn't fit into the lives of God's people today. What we see in the early church was this: the believers practiced the selfless life that Jesus taught. Jesus taught selflessness. And I think probably one of the best ways to express gratitude and thanksgiving is through generosity, giving away what we have. Now, Jesus tells us what happens when we share gratitude through generosity. Listen, he's teaching about giving, and here's what he says. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. What do you use to measure your generosity? Fourth of a cup? A whole cup? A gallon? A bucket? With what measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now, Jesus isn't teaching the prosperity gospel. He's not teaching that. But he is making a correlation between our generosity and God's provision for us. From personal experience, Diane and I have learned that you cannot outgive God. You just can't do it. His shovel is bigger than my shovel. And we have found that when we've had the opportunity to bless others with what he has blessed us with, he's always provided back exactly what is needed, and his blessings are amazing. That doesn't mean that your bank account is going to be filled up. But boy, he makes things last. He provides what's necessary. He is so good about that. Folks, you and I are called to share our thankfulness with others. And this is done through generosity. My prayer for me and for us is that we will be a church, a people who give thanks in this Thanksgiving season, but year-round. And so how do we do so? We're going to practice thankfulness. We're going to humble ourselves before God and get a right picture of who we are. We're going to appreciate God's blessings, not just with our lips, but with our lives. We're going to nurture a spirit of generosity. And we're going to keep a grateful heart during difficult times. And finally, we're going to live thankfully by sharing our gratitude with others. I ask you again this morning, are you thankful? Are you thankful? Let's pray. Father, sometimes thanks seems so inadequate. Sometimes thanks is difficult to say. You've called us to be grateful people, not because of our circumstances, but despite or in our circumstances. You are always good, and we can always find something to be thankful for. May we be that kind of people. People who are grateful, people who don't take things for granted, people who are not discontent, not entitled, but walking humbly before you with gratitude for whatever you do, and whatever you bring into our lives. Lord, this week as we gather around our homes with family, may we be thankful people, but may it not end at midnight on Thursday. May we live grateful lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Next Sunday, we begin Advent and a Christmas series entitled Christmas Basics. Got to show up. I will warn you, bring your thinking caps. All right? God bless. Go live out your faith. Like a river,